Welcome back to Techonomics. I'm your host, Jason Middleton. DNA analysis used to mean labs, lab coats, and technicians. But thanks to 23andMe.com, anyone can get a pretty decent pass at their own genetic code for around $200. More than 1.2 million of us have chosen to do just that. And of those 23andMe clients, about a million opted to share that data. A massive new study looks at that genetic data and its link to clinical depression, the largest study of its kind to date. I spoke with one of the lead researchers and co-authors of the study.
Dr. Ashley Winslow, currently director of neurogenetics at the Orphan Disease Center, University of Pennsylvania. During the study, I was associate director of neurogenetics at Pfizer.
This study is a massive study. I'd like to know where you got your data for this, and then after that, we'll get into some of the results.
Yeah, so we actually had a collaboration with 23andMe, and through that collaboration, we were able to access their data from their research portal. And so this is a portion of their customer base that agrees to share their data for research purposes.
And how much data were you able to get from 23andMe?
So we had two phases of the study. We had a discovery phase, which was 75,000 cases, and those are individuals reporting a treatment for depression or clinical diagnosis of depression. And then we had 230,000 individuals reporting no to both of those questions. And that was in the discovery phase. With the follow-up study, what we call our replication data, it was 45,000 cases and about 100,000 controls.
Okay. I think that it's safe to say that depression touches a lot of people, a lot of families, and personal front page, it touches my family very closely. So I'm eager to hear some of the results you got from this massive study. First, let's talk about scale. This study is probably the largest done in this field regarding depression.
Yes, it is. Having access to an unprecedented amount of numbers is what led us to have significant results. For the first time, we show, and this is in a European group of European descent, we find 15 different regions of the human genome that associate with the risk of developing depression. And that's an unprecedented finding because studies of this sort to date have not been able to find genome-wide significant associations in a European background. There was one study published recently, I guess in the past year, from a Chinese study of women with severe depression that showed two genome-wide significant hits. Unfortunately, we did look at their findings and our results to see if we could replicate the same association, but we weren't able to replicate the results, most likely due to the fact that the genetic associations they looked at were too rare in our population. And that's likely driven by the different ethnicities.
I see. Okay, so no correlation between the Chinese study, but your study was so deep that you're confident in the results that you've seen so far.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time trying to understand, because it's a relatively new type of report, it's self-report. We did rely on the question being asked in a careful way by 23andMe to ask for more objective, have you been diagnosed or treated for depression? But we still wanted to gain confidence in those results. So we did an initial discovery phase of our study. We also followed up with a replication phase in an independent group of individuals. We also compared our results to clinically ascertained genetic depression studies, mainly coming from the Psychiatric Genomics Consortia. That's publicly available data.
Okay.
We did see that, although that study wasn't previously powered to have genome-wide significant findings, we can do genetic and statistical tests to see how similar and representative the data is. And we did find that our data set is highly correlated with that clinical ascertainment. So we're really excited by this. This really points to the fact that you can use kind of this crowdsourced self-report phenotype to reflect severe depression.
We're speaking with Dr. Ashley Winslow, a researcher who was involved with a massive study of genetics and genomics and depression. Dr. Winslow, how can this massive data, these results that you found, how can they be applied in the field? And do you see a ripple effect coming off of this report?
Absolutely. I really think that this is the first kind of real hardcore findings that point to regions in our genome that associate with risk of depression. The field has been dominated by a focus on neurotransmitters and understanding serotonin release and how the parts of the brain all interact. This takes us deep into kind of molecular causative events. What this ends up leading to is ideally labs interested in understanding these results will start to pick apart these regions. These are just marks in the genome. There's many genes in each of these regions, so we now need to try to dissect those regions, identify the genes in each region, the specific changes in each region that associate with disease. From that, then we need to understand the biology around these genes and the dysfunction that each of these changes kind of confers. That will lead us to novel biological understanding of depression, new ways of thinking about the disease, and ideally that will ultimately lead to new therapeutic approaches for depression. And this has been a disease that hasn't been well served by some of our current therapeutics.
Right. And one of the goals of genomics, as I understand it, is for individualized therapies that will be applied per patient as we move forward. So does this research and do these findings help push that down the field a little bit?
I would say it's a complicated question. This gives us a hint that there is real genetic causes to the disease, but each one of the findings, each of these regions, only confers a small amount of risk, relatively small. But we think it's likely the combination or interaction of multiple genomic changes that we haven't addressed in our study that ideally would be something that people would look at further down the line with some more advanced techniques. So it's hard for it to translate into kind of one gene, one change, you know, one individual's
right.
risk, but we can start to understand the biology around these genes, and that can kind of give us a hint as to an individual's risk when you look at these things in aggregate and then kind of aggregate it up to the pathway or biology protein level understanding of the disease.
Okay, Neil, you've pushed this out the door and it's been very well received. I mean, 1.2 million people being used for this study. That's a lot and it's a big data set. And what are next steps along this path?
Well, like I said, this is a starting point. There's a lot of work to be done downstream. A lot of groups are going to be looking at this to see if they can replicate our findings. Some studies, really nice complementary studies, have and will continue to look at subtypes of depression, which I think will complement these findings and kind of extend our knowledge. But I think downstream, it's really taking the findings and trying to understand the genomic implications, what is happening in each region, which gene is most important in these regions, and how can we start to better understand the biology. It's really kind of that functional genomics continuation of this study.
What else are you working on that you're excited about? Anything else on your desk?
Well, I've transitioned a little bit since my role at Pfizer. I'm now working on rare disease. And my background has been on utilizing genomic data and functional genomic biology to really understand causative events in disease. So in my current role, I'm working on rare diseases, which are relatively underserved by the research and pharma community. And so we're trying to find better ways to accelerate timelines and accessibility of research to these disease areas.
Well, if we aren't already rooting for you, we're definitely counting on you, Dr. Winslow. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
That was Dr. Ashley Winslow. Now, during the study of depression, she was Associate Director of Neurogenetics at Pfizer. She has since moved on to the University of Pennsylvania. That's it for this week's edition of Techonomics. Thanks for listening. We touched on Gawker and online journalism, Yahoo's cautionary tale, the future of Obamacare, and the link between our DNA and depression. For links to all those segments, they're on Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. And for a playlist of the music we use during the show, you can check the Facebook page or follow me on Twitter at KGO Jason. For producer Leanna Wilcox, I'm Jason Middleton, and this has been Techonomics. Please come on back next week.